welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, on this very beautiful August 30th. I can't believe we're almost rolling into the month of September here. School starting across the board. I know here at PJP, we start up next week. It's been a great summer, but boy, man, did it go fast. As we begin every show, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Mary and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and that our deeds be your deeds. We ask this in your name, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, Amen. And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary Chiametti, mother of four and grandmother of five, married to Pat. Mary, how many years have you been married to Pat?
36, I think.
Boy, I put you on the spot with that one right out the gate, huh?
Yeah. I always forget about that. But
I got gotcha. You. After 35, years. It's house money anyway, right? Nobody's even counting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mary, great to have you on the program. Mary is the founder of the CTC Wellness Foundation and also Don't Stall, Just Call, which we're going to be talking about. It's an advocacy for youth and high school and college age students, talking about the education process with alcohol poisoning and the prevention of scenarios that happen with students and families that result from alcohol and drug intake. She founded the organization in 2015 after her and her husband, Pat, experienced an unfathomable tragedy, the death of their son, Christian, a 20-year-old thriving student at Temple University, who died from alcohol, complications of alcohol poisoning as a result of binge drinking. And then her, as God's always working greatness through tragedy, she founded Don't Stall, Just Call, which is an alcohol education mission created under a nonprofit of the CTC Wellness Foundation, a 501c3. The foundation focuses on alcohol education and offers anxiety-reducing strategies and wellness opportunities for students looking to incorporate healthy lifestyle choices on college campuses and beyond. What a great purpose this is. Mary has presented to over 40,000 people in the last 6 years, and
no,
God knows she saved
40,000. Close to 40,000.
Okay.
At this point. Yeah.
I gotcha. And
yeah.
God knows the number of lives she's not only impacted but saved as a result of her mission. So it's just it's a treat to have you on here, Mary. Mary's a graduate of the Mount St. Mary's University, where she had a BS in business and finance. Member of St. Philip's Parish. And Lafayette Hill Lifer, welcome to the program, Mary.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me. It's an honor, honestly.
Absolutely. We're excited. I know we have mutual friends, and I know, I told you when I first heard your name and your family's name, it was at a LaSalle football banquet shortly after you guys experienced the tragedy. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But just as I always like to start out, tell us about your upbringing, your family, you know, your school, high school, college, and your early adult
okay,
life.
Okay, well, all right, I'll tell you a little bit. And I also have my mom here, my 90-and-a-half-year-old mother.
What's her name?
Her name is Molly.
Molly welcome to the program.
So here she is. And I wanted her to be, I just wanted her to be a part of this today. Because,
absolutely.
Honestly, right now you're asking me about my upbringing. So I am one of nine children, that my mom and dad were blessed with. I have eight brothers, and when the year I was born, one of my brothers, Eddie, he was 6 years old, he unfortunately passed. He had leukemia, so I was just 3 months old. But my mom went on and had two more boys after me, and God bless her.
No doubt.
Because that was a lot of kids in 11 years. And anyway, I was number seven. So when people are always asking me, where do I fall in line? I was the seventh child born out of the nine. So I grew up in Lafayette Hill. And like you already mentioned, I am proudly a St. Philip Neri original person. And there are still a few of us around. And my children are in the parish as well. So two that are married, and you know, we're just really thrilled that they are here in the parish with us. So
that's awesome.
Oh, also, so I attended St. Philip Neri for 8 years, K through eighth. Then I went on to the Mount over in Flowertown, Mount St. Joe's, and then, as you mentioned, down to Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg. And that was my schooling. And honestly, besides those 4 years, I've been here ever since. I married my husband, Pat, who arrived at St. Philip's. He was from North Philadelphia. He came when he was in sixth grade or fifth grade to St. Philip's. So he was one of my brother's best friends. So, yeah, I got lucky with that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Who, Mary, who were some of your greatest spiritual influences growing up in St. Philip's?
Well, my greatest influences growing up were 100% my parents. And my father, who many people say, oh, he was one of those larger-than-life guys, he was just a super honest man with a booming voice who ran a big business in the Delaware Valley. But to me, he honestly was just my dad. And the greatest things that he did during his life, I believe, were the things that he never spoke of. And it was the things that he helped people with. And the reason I know about these things now is from his funeral, honestly. But he didn't talk about the kind, good, generous things that he did for others throughout
his
life.
Sure, he had humility about it.
So he just was, you know, truly, you know, humble when it came to the real personal things. But the one thing that he really did do for me was that he would visit the sick. And often, I don't know how I got chosen, but he would choose me to go with him. And I didn't want to go. I would have rather stayed in my room. But he was one of those people that was always out there, like, trying to make somebody feel better. And if a relative was sick or old, he was, you know, remember those days of visiting people, of visiting family members? And so he was doing that, and often he brought me with him. And so I
that's
learned
awesome.
This is
I would say
do.
That that's probably
what,
that,
how
that,
treat
that
people.
Foundation
but
that
also,
you and your father had experienced
here,
together, I mean, that probably helped, you know,
was an
you,
example of this
in
strong
moving beyond your own tragedy.
I really
and
didn't understand
other people,
growing up at all how she could even do what she did. But at times, Joe, and there were many, if I was complaining about something or someone, she would calmly say, "Mary, just pray for them." And I'm like, "What?" And she would just say it again. And she would say, "Pray for them." And honestly, since the loss of Christian, I get it. And I understand that there are so many greater things in life that matter more than these minor annoyances that we sometimes have. So I definitely see through a new lens, and I understand my mom and her life so much more. Yeah.
That's awesome. What? Let me ask you this. So he, Christian dies in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Winter or spring? What was when did that happen?
January of 2015.
Okay, and then.
Well, January 17th, I think we got a phone call to get to Temple Hospital. And then he was in a coma for a week and on full life support. and we then took him off of life support after 7 days. Yeah.
I gotcha. And then what was the impetus? Did you just feel the spirit working through you in terms of, you know, because a crisis like that where you're dealing with a tragedy of that magnitude, I mean, so often people, you know, you can you never lose that, but you can just wallow for the next 30 years and in isolation. And there you are using this as a platform to educate other people.
So I don't know if you even know this or I told you this before, but there was this weird thing when he was in the hospital and I started taking pictures of him on life support. And as each day, I really didn't understand that he was getting worse. I just didn't understand it because I believed in hope for sure. But it was like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me saying, take these pictures so no one forgets. Take these pictures. And I literally, like, if there's anybody out there listening, if you could imagine you were taking pictures and you're like talking to yourself saying, this is so weird. Why am I doing this? And yet it was so people don't forget. Mm. So people know what this is. And I didn't know, like, you know, he died. I came home the day after the funeral. My girlfriends, my roommates from college, spent the afternoon with me. And I said, they were the first ones I showed the pictures to. And I just said, I don't know why I have these, but I was told to take them. And they looked at them and they just said, Mary T, you're going to do something with these. You know, you're going to help other people. And also in the line, when people were coming through, all the many, many, many people that came through, there were people that, like, hugged me and just said, you're going to do something with this. I'm like, I'm just trying to breathe. And so then when I came home after Christian died, I literally couldn't do anything. And my closest friends know that I could not do anything. All I could do was lay on a couch. And after a bit, I was like, and I mean, like, after about a week or so, I was like called to the Bible. And I jokingly say, well, not jokingly, it's pretty darn true, that as a Catholic who went to school as many years as I did, the only time I opened the Bible was for homework. But no, I, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, it's really bad. But anyway, I was being called to open a Bible, and I'm like, okay, where's my Bible? And I really didn't even know where mine was, but I found my daughter's. And so, you know, from high school, her Bible. And I got it out, and I started what a lot of people do sometimes, like just open a page, like just open it, and wherever God led my eyes to, that was what I was supposed to read that day. And it hit me completely like it was written for me that day. And then after a couple weeks of that, when I finally could use a computer, I guess, I started investigating alcohol poisoning and binge drinking. And that is what Christian died from. I mean, he did this. This was not hazing. He put this in himself, but he had had a breakup. He was not feeling well, which is, you know, meaning sad. And
sure.
I didn't know this at the time. And his friends didn't know it either, meaning that he was kind of upset over the breakup. But this is why anxiety is one of our pillars of the CTC Wellness Foundation, because I believe that that's what he was experiencing, and we didn't know the signs.
Sure.
We didn't know what to do. And so anyway, moving back to starting doing the investigation, I was seeing that there were people dying of this, and it was absolutely crazy. Like, why aren't people educated? And when I say that, Joe, I know that I wasn't educated.
No doubt.
So why should I be mad at his roommates for putting him to bed because they did what they thought was the right thing. And without this education, how will anyone know? So we need absolutely to get this education out. So that is how I believe then that this like purpose of my life that I knew from way back when that there was a reason I was supposed to do something and from many years ago, but, and then I knew 100% that this is what I'm supposed to do and I'm supposed to help other people. And
that's an amazing story.
Yeah, so
now the CTC Wellness Foundation, was that the mother of Don't Stall, Just Call, or was that just, did the foundation begin first, or talk us through
well,
that?
Well, no, we had to, Don't Stall, Just Call, hopefully people feel that it's a good kind of like a branding that the kids can remember.
Absolutely.
Like Don't Stall, Just Call, make the call, save a life, learn the alcohol poisoning symptoms. But the CTC Wellness Foundation is the name that when we had to do that whole 501c nonprofit stuff, that is Christian's initials, Christian Thomas Chmetti.
I figured that.
And I say, yeah, I had to go with initials because, as we all know, there are people that don't like Christians in this world. There are people that don't like Italians in this world. There are, so we needed to go with initials. So hopefully schools that aren't just religious education schools, would be interested in this education, because this education, it doesn't matter where you were baptized or weren't baptized, you need to learn the signs of alcohol poisoning so then you can save a life. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, Mary. You and your husband are going through this unbelievable tragedy, and yet now you still have other children, that you're now like responsible for in their grieving process. How were you able to navigate through, your own grief and then address, the rest of the family with that?
Joe, that's a great question. We're still working on it.
Sure, I'll bet. I'll bet.
We are absolutely working on it. I just want to say for all the parents out there that have lost a child, I don't know what they did, but I know, my husband, Pat, and I, we are not the same people. We are two individuals who love each other, but by far, we are not the same people.
No,
and so we each, like what I want to say is we were doggy paddling through it. And then
sure.
You see the kids, and they had, one was married, the other one was had just gotten engaged weeks before. And then our daughter, oh my God, she was out in Texas going to school for grad school. And I feel, honestly, that we were all just like trying to float, trying to
sure doggy paddle. Everyone was doing their own doggy paddle. I'm
yeah,
sure.
And I believe that friends and our friends were the biggest source of comfort and coming over and trying to just be there. And it's a horrible thing. And for those of us that have gone through this and are still every day, like I say, how could my brain be so filled with the loss of one when I still have three?
Sure.
It's just like, it doesn't matter. When you lose a kid, a child, it's just something's missing. And
no,
you always feel that way.
I could definitely understand that. Or empathize with that.
Let me ask you this, Mary, that's another thing, being aware of those things. I'm not here to teach you, but it just, unless you've unfortunately gone through this, you have no idea. And
like
I say to my own children, and this is what I think is a good thing, I say to them, I do not know what it is to lose a brother. because I was only 3 months when my brother died. So yeah. I've never gone through what they've gone through. And to see their brother for a week, you know, on life support, at least they had that time that they could, you know, literally pray over him, which is what they were doing. And it was beautiful. Absolutely.
I bet it was.
Yeah, it's horrible. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Let me ask you this. So, you know, wellness is such a big deal right now, especially with young people. You're coming off of COVID and anxiety
yep.
and depression is all, you know, is every year, you know, you're further along in the parenting department than myself and my wife, but
mm-hmm.
you know, our oldest is 21 and our youngest is 17. But like, it just seems that it's like at epidemic levels, you know, for young people, you know, and the link, obviously, you know, usually, you know, not that it always depression is coupled with anxiety, but because I guess they're two distinct differences. But you know, they're so it's at like an all time high, and seems to be going through the roof with every passing year. Like, what is it about the challenges of young people today that you know you and I are in the same cohort, the same age bracket? Like, what is it about the challenges that young people have today that are different than they were 30 years ago, because they've never had more at their disposal than they have right now. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, you know, in terms of,
I think you just said
you,
it.
You
right
tell your browbeat your kids and say, you know,
so
I had a job when I was 16, and you know, I was delivering
I
papers, and you know, we got new things, Christmas and your birthday, and you know, and just so they've never had more, but they've never you know, dealt with more sadness and loss and anxiety. Like, what do you think that is?
It's really. It's just so sad. I think the social media is like, and I think social media plays a really huge part in the negative energy that's around. But I also have to say that I use social media. That's when I started using social media when Christian was in the hospital
sure.
and for prayers. So it's a great vehicle for that. But I really believe that the young people today, the young folks, it's so, you know, let's take COVID out of the, you know, let's take COVID out of this sequence right now. And even without COVID, it was so hard because they're, you know, they have all that FOMO. They think they're missing out on things because they see one picture that they think that, oh my gosh, so-and-so was with that one. And then these kids start to feel bad. And the bullying, like, it just seems like it's gotten to a really huge level. So that's really hard. And I think that some of the things to reduce anxiety is that we need, as a whole, as a culture, we all need to get outside more. We need to do walks. We need to get exercise instead of being glued to our computers. And let me tell you, I'm saying that after I've been sitting here at my computer all day. I mean, I get it. But we need to connect with friends. And, you know, Joe, I don't know what your neighborhood's like, but it's so interesting when you walk through neighborhoods that you don't see people. And back in the day when we were young, we were riding our bikes. We were walking from one place to the other, to the drugstore to go get candy.
Sure.
Now you're afraid to let your kid out. So all of that is so hard. And then when you're talking about the teenage years, young folks, they see people in pictures, you know, and I say with the red cups drinking. And, you know, sometimes there's parents that, you know, want to be friends with their children instead of actually parenting them. So these are all things that at the end of the day add into a fine, tough, anxiety-filled human, I think. It is. It's hard. But the other thing that we have now is for mental wellness or mental well-being is people are talking about going to counseling.
Yeah.
And like I'll say, Christian, when he was a senior in high school, there was an episode, actually two, where I thought, I think you need to talk to somebody. So he did. But, you know, full disclosure, I knew nothing about
sure.
this business. I never you know, I wasn't familiar with that. So anyway, so my point is that now there's a greater acceptance, so nobody should feel uncomfortable about going and getting the help that they need. But they have to be honest and truthful, else counseling doesn't work.
So true. Let me ask you this. Are you are Christians friends? Do you still, you and your husband, your kids, are they still in your lives?
He wasn't the kid that had like a million friends.
Sure.
But yes, his friends are, they come to our walk every year that we have. And,
awesome.
One of his friends who, actually works for the government. So I can't really like say his name or anything, but he is in our, presentation by video. And then Christian's former girlfriend, she is actually on the board and speaks with me. We were just down at Mount St. Mary's last week for a presentation. So while she is busy studying for her doctorate in occupational therapy, she is around and like a member of the family. So his friends, the majority of them, yes.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
When is the walk, Mary, every year? When do you have that?
It's in April, and I didn't confirm the date, but it's usually the weekend of Earth Day in April. So it's like the third weekend.
Is it in Lafayette Hill?
April, and it's a walk run. And last year we had people from, I think, 16 states represented, and because we did virtual and some live. And the year before was all virtual. So it's just simply amazing. And you know, once again, it's connections. It's when we have our walk at Temple Ambler campus, it feels like a family reunion. And there's all the LaSalle guys, and oh my God, it's a day where my face hurts from smiling so much. Certainly the first year was really difficult. Gathering, knowing why we're gathering, I talk about it at the very beginning before they start the run, but after that, it's just a great time. And there's, you know, over 400 people involved in this on these days, and it's really amazing and fun. So we're
That's
so grateful.
Awesome. What other events do you have throughout the year?
Pardon me?
What other than the run, do you have any other events throughout the year?
Yeah, we do a summer solstice yoga, and that's something that that we do that in June every year. And that is also a night of yoga where we actually do a benefit for this bloom.org in Bangor, Pennsylvania, which is women in recovery from sex trade.
Okay.
And so we split that between them. We have these great yoga people that come out. I like this event. It's a Friday night thing, no alcohol. And it's always just a beautiful night. So we do that. We have our focus group meeting every summer, which is a group of college and high school kids every year, high school students, excuse me. And that is always amazing. And what we do with the information that we gather that night is we build our program each year. And so, you know, it keeps it fresh. They tell us things we otherwise wouldn't have known. And this year, is it time for a break yet? I'm sorry. because I don't want to go over.
Yep. That's a good call right now. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back with founder of the CTC Wellness Foundation and Don't Stall, Just Call, Mary Chiametti.
This is Pat Lally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years, so it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world. And wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, with founder of the CTC Wellness Foundation, and Don't Stall, Just Call, Mary Chiametti, talking about her son's tragedy in 2015 that served as the God working, you know, miracles through tragedy, served as the impetus for her starting this organization that has spoken and dealt with over 40,000 people, almost 40,000 people in the last 6 years. What a great cause and such an amazing story. Mary, let me ask you this. Faith in tragedy, right? It hits, you know, you have something of this magnitude happen, unspeakable. And, you know, in my experience, having not certainly done had anything like that, but when tragedy hits the faith-filled, you know, one of two things happens. People dig, you know, double down on their faith, and that sustains them through this tragedy and gets them through the day-to-day nightmare, or they kind of abandon it altogether. Like, how were you able to utilize your faith, not just to get you through this, but to serve as this, like, this impetus for this, you know, great story?
Well, I honestly believe that the Holy Spirit just played the biggest role in my life. From maybe forever. And I had an experience, that a near-death experience when I was 18 at college. And, was a near-death experience where I was on my way to heaven, and I had toxic shock syndrome, and I was dying. And when I was, and by the way, I always had great faith. I was that girl in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade that still wanted to be a nun. And I was like, oh, I'll be a nun, or I'll have a lot of kids, something like that. But anyway, I went to college, ended up with toxic shock syndrome the very first semester of college, in December 6, 1980. And when this happened to me, I was actually dying. I saw the priest giving me last rites. I was above the bed, the whole thing. My parents were there. And, you know, I was in a coma-like state. And so, you know, I was on my way. And I was literally, like, going with a soul somewhere. And I felt totally fine until I remember turning around looking at seeing my dad. And I just thought, oh my gosh, he was like crying. And then I thought, I need to get back. And so I know this sounds incredibly crazy to so many people who have no idea that this happened, but it did. And the story hasn't changed since 1980. It's the same. And all the priests down at Mount St. Mary's at the time were trying to interview me. What did I see? What do I know? Why did God let me live? And so 3 days later, I wake up out of this coma business, and I have the Infinite Prague statue in my hand, and I'm like, what? And that was the statue that was on my mom's counter or by her kitchen window always. And my brother had actually died with that in his hand. So I think there was something that this connection, and through the years, I realized that God gave me a second chance and I was supposed to do something, but I never knew what it was. Never, ever, ever did I know what it was. And oddly enough, the day before we got the call for Christian, my mother and I were in a car together and this feeling came over me. And I said to her, which I had said many times over the years, Mom, do you know why God let me live? And she'd be like, Mary, you're crazy. And I'm like, no, the toxic shock. And she'd say, oh, to be Pat's wife, to be the mother of the kids. And I would say, no. I said, Mom, I'm 52. No, I'm getting old. I'm supposed to do something. What does he want me to do? And I was crying when I said it. And then the next day, we got the call. And then everything progressed. And then once I got home, I realized this is it. This is what I was supposed to do.
That's amazing.
And that I was like called to do this. And when, you know, when Christian's funeral came around, I said something that I believe that is so true, that we don't get lifetime guarantees with our children. They are gifts from God.
No doubt.
And so at any moment, if it's a day, if it's 5 days, if it's 10 years, if it's 6 years, if it's 20 years, it's a gift to have them. And that, you know, looking back, like, would I rather not have had Christian? Of course not. He was a gift. And that then this all happened, like, heck, I never wanted any of this to happen. But you know what? When what happened in the hospital, when he was sick, and then there was this experience when I finally felt sad, which not finally felt sad, when I actually felt sorry for myself. And that was on the Tuesday morning of that week in the middle of the night, laying, you know, right next to him, having my hand on him, saying the rosary. And I had an experience. And the devil, it was darkness, came. And I believe wanted to really take my soul. Because what I believe now, which, by the way, all that Catholic school education, what did I believe about the devil? You know, I thought it was a costume you wore at Halloween. But now I know differently. And that there is negativity in the world, and it is the devil and evil forces working. And I absolutely get that. And I believe that they try to take people with great faith at the time when they're feeling sad and at their lowest point.
No,
so, you know what I want to say, Joe? I want to say that life isn't fair, and I don't talk about it, and I never use that F word. It's not a word that I use, because it's not, and it's not. You think it was fair that Jesus died on a cross?
No doubt.
Not one bit. That's not fair. And so I believe that this was all part of some plan that, yeah, I could have said no to, but I said yes.
That's
and
awesome.
And when that negative energy was coming towards me, that's when I actually put up the cross of the rosary. And I said, get away from me, Satan. And I asked Jesus, I asked God right then. I said, I give my life to you. Just show me the way and give me the grace to accept your will. You know, and don't ruin my family, please, if possible. I mean, who prays for that when their son's dying? But
no doubt.
It was really bad. It was really, it was horrible. The whole event.
Let me ask you this, Mary. So, like, okay, there you are, like, you know, unbelievably faith-filled, you know, rock foundation. You know, you had your own experience, you know, 30 years ago that, you know, served as the start, you know, for, you know, you were able to recall that in this tragedy. Like, what do you tell people that, or how do you, you know, when you have loved ones that don't respond like that and don't lean on their faith and God's, you know, infinite mercy and love, like, what do you do when your loved ones, you know, walk away from the faith as a result of something like this, other than pray?
Pray for them. That they see the light before any tragedy could happen to them, because, you know, heaven is real. And it's as real as I am sitting here. Heaven is real. And I want everybody to believe that, like, this is only a drop in the bucket. This is just a moment, you know, a grain of sand this time here on earth. And that what's to come is forever. And that is going to be such wonderful greatness. We just unfortunately lost my nephew, 37 years old, to brain cancer. And like, we believe that he's way better now, but it's our sadness here.
Sure.
You know, we're all sad because we're still here.
Yeah, the temporal
but
world.
But what's to come is way better. And that reunion is going to be
epic.
Better than anything we can imagine.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I know there's a scholarship
yes.
at the Tyler School of Art and Design in Christian's memory. So talk about that. How are people able to, if there's listeners out there or you know, fundraisers or anything like that, where do you go? What do you do throughout the year where people might be able to contribute to the CTC Wellness Foundation Scholarship?
Well, thanks, Joe. So there is PayPal on our website, which is don'tstalljustcall.org, or Facebook, Don't Stall, Just Call. And when we, you know, we have sponsors and everything for our runs and everything, we have the most amazing sponsors. Absolutely. They are so great, so awesome. And L2 Brands.
What is the website address?
Forever. But anyway, people who want to donate can do PayPal, or they can message me and I'll give them my address, and or Don't Stall, Just Call. And I think our address is on the Facebook page. I'm so sorry because I don't know.
Oh, no problem. No, I put you on the spot.
But we, of course, work from the donations. We are so grateful. There's grants that we've received. The Allstate Helping Hands Foundation has been awesome. Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, we've had grants with them. So this is what helps fund our initiatives. I don't know if you know, we have planes that fly with a banner down the shore, and that's pretty amazing.
Oh, man. Definitely.
And for us at first, it was like, oh, my gosh, look. And I'm like, yeah, my kid's still dead. It stinks. But
sure.
It will save somebody else's life, and that's what matters, and that's why we need to do what we do. So, yeah. And as far as the scholarship goes, if anybody wants to send a check to the Temple Tyler School for the CTC Wellness Scholarship, it would go directly there, or I could make sure if it came to me, I would make sure that it goes to that scholarship. We are so proud that we created this perpetual scholarship. So when I'm long gone, and you know the rest of us are, it will still keep going.
That's awesome.
Christian loved his time in the landscape architecture program. Absolutely.
Do you have any? Do you or your board have any say in terms of how that money's distributed, or is there like an application process for the scholarship?
Well, actually, it goes to a rising junior, and in the landscape architecture program. So it goes to the program that Christian was in, and primarily the person has to have a B average, and he also has to if they're doing the Rome program, that is something that we prefer, because we would love to be able to help somebody who can go over to Europe like Christian was supposed to do with his last his semester, his senior year. That's part of the program for Temple's landscape architecture program. So that's how that goes.
Nice. You know, one of the things, you know, the beauty of Catholicism, right? We have so many different platforms of worship. You know, you have adoration, mass, confession, stations, novenas, saintly intercession, the rosary. I know you spoke about the rosary a little bit, but just as a, you know, a Catholic mother, you know, and wife, you know, are there any of those that you kind of feel like appeal to you personally?
Well, honestly, you know, as I said before, I go to St. Philip's, and I am pretty darn lucky to be a parishioner there, because we have great priests that, you know, I hear things in Mass that you know, maybe one line that I'll walk away with that is something that really matters to me. So Mass is great. The Rosary is obviously a great calming source of worship for me. We actually have a rosary group that I'm a part of. It was called Burgers and Beads. And we used to go to Brittingham's, and it was half price burger night. So we would do that, have burgers, and then go to church and say the rosary later on. And that is so important, is just the gathering of community and praying together. And not just for the Sunday obligation, but actually like praying prayers for our family members that, you know, we want to help healing, and talking about saints that we feel connected with and things like that. So really it's the rosary, I think, that is a big deal for me. And then I also want to say Holy Week, and I really wasn't a big fan of that before, but now I have such a connection that it just feels like I can feel the sadness of the Blessed Mother during that time.
Sure.
Thinking, because I just empathize that she watched all of this. And so Holy Week is really, really moving for me now. And another thing is the sacrament of confirmation, that I just love to be around kids who are going to be receiving it, because I want them to know that the Holy Spirit has special gifts for each and every one of us, that
it's just
a talent that needs to be honed in order to figure out which one is meant for us. And maybe we have more than one, but I want them to be excited about it. And so anyway,
So you talked about, you know, some of the perks of social media. We know, you know, you and I as parents, we could talk about the, you know, the curses and the challenges that come with, you know, all the influences of social media. But one of them, and you're like a huge part of, is the prayer warriors. Can you tell our listeners about that a little bit?
I don't even know. I forget how I got connected with them, but actually,
after I spoke to you about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I'm on that, and I feel inspired by that, because it's it it the What's the number of people on that list,
it's,
Mary?
It's got to be hundreds. I think it's like 5,000 or something like that.
Yeah. How amazing is that?
It's just amazing. Who's the... This is the group that Eddie Norris, who, by the way, I really don't even know him personally, but somehow he friended me on Facebook. That's how I got involved. Brought a couple of my friends from St. Philip Neri up to St. Norbert's in, what is it, Devon?
Yep.
And I have to say that it's awesome. And for those people that know about Chico's Vibe, so several of the band members of Chico's Vibe, they're there and they play the music, and there's affirmations, you know, personal affirmations, and it's just really inspiring, absolutely inspiring. But any prayer group that ends with Love Train around the church, for real, people are like, what? And I'm like, yes. And it's just great. It's something that is missing. And not to say that this should be every day, because then it wouldn't be special, but it's so awesome. And I don't even know these people. I mean, they're not, you know, my friends really, but it doesn't matter. People coming together, praying a common prayer. And then there's that prayer, one of the prayers that I love, which I can't even remember the name of it, but the one to get the souls out of purgatory. So every time you say it, 1,000 souls get released. And I think that's what it is. I am telling you, when we say that prayer, I have chills right now just saying it.
Mm.
When we say it together, I forget how many times we would say it because I haven't been back because of COVID, but when you say it together in a group, and then Eddie's like, oh, this many souls are being released from purgatory, and you can feel the energy. It is so awesome. So
that's
anyway,
cool.
The next meeting, I think, is it October 6th? I can't look at my phone. I'll mess it up right now. But it's either October 6th or October 7th up at St. Norbert's. And I hope that COVID stays away. I hope that we can gather together. I hope that we
I'm going to try and go to that because
I think it really brings people together in a positive way. And especially with this sadness in Afghanistan, all the prayers for these people. It's so sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and go to that because I think Father Rob Hagen from Villanova is speaking. He's a dear friend of mine.
I think
he's one of the featured speakers there. He's a phenomenal
guy. I know
guy.
Him, but it'll be good no matter who's there, always.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, too, as we're closing out here. SPN, you know, I had two kids that went to school there. You've been blessed, you know, for your entire life. And I know Monsignor has...
Amen.
How long has Monsignor Vance been there?
2000. He came right before my father died. He's awesome.
Well, I know he said the mass for my mother when she passed away 2 Februarys ago. What an amazing parish. And I said to you when I spoke to you a couple of days ago, we pass over 4 parishes to go to St. Philip's, because it's that special. And, having a place of worship and a community of worship that can put their arms around the Chiometta family when you're going through that tragedy, that just had to be incredibly comforting for you and your family.
You know, I have to say that the day, like, we got the call for Christian also, I just want to say this really quickly, that I called, which was like the one time I couldn't remember the church office phone number in all these years, but I called my friend Colleen and I was like, call Monsignor, get him down here, immediately. And I remember that day, that the moment I got off the phone, it felt, my memory is that I turned around and there was Monsignor. And he just hugged me. And I will never forget that. He has been with me it's been 20 years, you know, he's been with me. He's experienced, he's seen my children get married. He's married them, you know, those that are married. I think he married all of them. And he did, all 2 of them. And baptized the babies. We are, you know, eats pasta on the front porch with us. Father Anthony, we miss him. but can't wait to see him again soon. We're just really, really lucky with our parish, and people don't understand that, but you have to give in order to receive, meaning
Amen.
You just have to show up. You need to show up. So whatever it is, just show up, and you will be a part of something greater than yourself, for sure. Right?
He amazed, no doubt, and he is just a... There's Father Anthony and Father Mike, and they've had so many great priests there. But, I mean, Monsignor is such a great leader. And every time he gives a homily, I feel like he's speaking directly to me.
No.
I mean, I feel like I'm an audience of one, and it's like... And I know, and you know, like with young people, I mean, we're, you know, when I bring my 17-year-old daughter, who, you know,
right.
I think in the day, one of the many sad things about, you know, culture today for young people is like they constantly need to be entertained. You know, and it's got to be, you know, mass has to be wrapped in like, you know, this big, you know, big bow and present. And it's got to be funny and engaging. And sometimes we forget that we go to Mass. You know, you would like a great homily, but if you don't get a great homily, that the reason you're going to Mass is for the miracle of the transubstantiation of you know, the body and the blood becoming
mm-hmm.
you know, the bread and wine turned into the body and blood of Christ. It's not a representation of it. We believe as Catholics that it is the body and the blood. So, you know, I certainly have grown to not necessarily expect a bang up homily that's going to sustain me for 4 days. If I get it, it's a bonus. But man, Father Monsignor Vance never disappoints. I mean, he is just he pulls out the notes and he's a great storyteller to boot. But you just feel like he gives you so much substance to carry you from a Sunday Mass or a Tuesday Mass, you know, really for days. It's just he's such a blessing. He's been such a blessing for my faith and my children and my
that's
wife.
That's so nice. I mean, he's an avid reader. He finds great stories, and and he speaks to the people, and that's what, you know, he speaks to the people, and he connects the gospel with his stories. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I've learned through these years of doing presentations is, you know, people don't really listen all about numbers all that much, unless you're a number person, but the rest of us listen to the stories, and that's what we take away. So I think that I think he has a gift. I think that our parish is going to sorely miss the day that he walks away.
Amen.
And,
it's huge. Whomever gets that, the task of following in his footsteps, that's a tremendous burden.
It really is. And I feel so super lucky that he has, you know, been a part of the Chimetti family. And I mean, because he really is just a regular guy who, you know, took the vows of priesthood and he's living the life. And so I'm just so grateful that this is who, you know, my children, you know, they just really like him. I mean,
amen.
You know,
Mary Chimetti, this has been awesome. It's been a great hour. I appreciate it. I look forward to getting out here to PJP at some point to talk with our students, and wish you nothing but the best. And I look forward to seeing you at SPN one of these Sundays, too.
Absolutely, Joe. I would appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
God bless, buddy. Take care.
You too. I'm waiting for the day when I am so on fire.